This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on April 16, 2023. The second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus came and said, "Peace be to you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Time of the resurrection, time when there should have been much happiness just to see Jesus himself, and how nice it would be for him to just walk in the room and say, "Peace be to you. All the bad stuff is over. I am resurrected." He doesn't leave it at that. He just doesn't say, "Peace be to you." He says, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by doing this, wants us to understand something, and that something is the reality of our faith. Our faith is not merely propositions. It is not rule-keeping, first and foremost. It is not platitudes, just talk. There's a reality behind it. Why does he show them his hands and his side when he says, "Peace be to you"? Because they concretize, they make the peace real. We have peace with God, our Father, through Jesus Christ because of his passion. His passion is proved by the wounds that he continues to bear. Holy Mother, the Church has always paid tremendous attention to the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ, the five wounds. We have a chaplet to the five wounds. There are many Catholics who set aside Thursday for a particular devotion to the five wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ. Historically, when we look at a crucifix in many places, they were what we refer to today as a passion crucifix, like the one we have on our altar. The crucifix that has blood on it, that has the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ open. These things are the reality of our faith. You think about most of the crucifixes, for instance, that you see in most churches. I mean, to say that they are a sanitized presentation of what happened is a gross overstatement. Some of them, like, they're not a crucifix. Yeah, I think of some places that are pretty close. And you got, you know, all these crystals that kind of look like the 1970s Superman movie with the forces of solitude and our Lord on them. You see a crucifix. You know, it actually looks like he's smiling on the crucifix. That's not what he endured for us. This is not it. We should always behold, particularly at Mass, the passion of our Lord. And that passion resulted in wounds. It resulted in blood loss. "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. My blood makes things new, and I'm proud of this." You should pay attention to the passion that I endured for you. In our worship, the Anima Christi, every time we have benediction, the Anima Christi, one of the petitions, "Within your wounds hide me." The divine praises, "Blessed be his most precious blood." This is our church. The source, center, and summit of our faith, the Eucharist. I will harp on this, and as long as I breath in my lungs, everybody is sick of hearing it. But nonetheless, it is not a reenactment of the Lord's Supper. It's not a big happy meal where we all get together and hang out. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ placed before the Father. The Father who looks at the wounds of our Lord. They were important to him, so important that in a resurrection appearance, "Peace be with you. Look." It's a reality. Divine Mercy Sunday. How many times do we hear mercy, grace and mercy, grace? I have people that seems like you got a problem with grace and mercy. I don't have a problem with it. That's what gets me into heaven. I appreciate it. But when I look at a cross and I look at the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ, that lets me know about grace and mercy. Not, grace and mercy presented like it's a get out of hell free card. Okay, that you can do anything you want. Boys will be boys because of his grace and mercy. No, he endured his wounds for our grace and mercy, and he's proud of that. He continues to bear those wounds. Our Lord takes great pride, a holy pride, in the wounds that he suffered for us. We should be attentive to that. He showed his apostles, he shows them to us. We come to the altar rail. We receive the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Risen indeed, but he's risen. We're not yet. We need to be attentive to what gets us into heaven. The five wounds. The five wounds. How many wounds did our Lord have? Really, probably innumerable. The scourging, the crowning with thorns. How many holes in his scalp were there from the crowning of thorns? How many times from the lashes on his back, with those flagellum that they used, had more than one lash on them? It had several. How many wounds did our Lord have? In private revelations, our Lord actually has revealed, again, private revelation, but that the wound on his shoulder was the most horrible of all of them while he was carrying the cross. And we don't even take it to that. Most people go, what about the wound on the shoulder? What are you talking about? He had a lot of wounds. A lot of them were grief. Why do we say the five wounds? The holes in his hands, the holes in his feet, and the hole in his side. Why? Because they are directly associated with his crucifixion. All the other wounds prepared him for the crucifixion. They were his passion that led to the crucifixion. The five wounds are directly associated with his crucifixion. We need to be attentive to them. We don't want to lose sight of them. It's kind of, here, a little Bible trivia for you. One of those little notes you take just for your little toolbox of things to throw out to people. This gospel is the only gospel presentation where we explicitly have evidence that our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. He was crucified. Everybody got nailed to the cross. No, they weren't. As a matter of fact, it wasn't the most frequent way. The cross was for people to suffer for as long as possible, to be a witness to other people, not to do what they did. And you drive railroad spikes through somebody's wrists and their feet, there's going to be blood loss. That could speed things up. A lot of people were tied to the cross. You look at old artworks, and not scriptural, historical art. People are tied to the cross. Why? Yeah, you hang up there, dehydrate. We might even put a sponge up there with vinegar every now and then. You can suck it down for a little bit. Let the bugs eat at you. Let the birds land on you and peck at you and things like that. Not be able to anything. That's what we want to see. So just because you're crucified doesn't mean you're nailed to the cross. This is the only place in the scripture we know that our Lord was nailed to the cross. There are reasons why things happen to our Lord that they happen. The wounds that he bears for us. What this is about, the wounds, this is the reality of the mercy that he has showed us, what he endured for us. It's an adoration of our Lord Jesus Christ's humanity. That we could always, went through Christmas a couple months ago. We talk about our Lord. God came down and took on our flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, he did. And you can get kind of lost every now and then if you just pay attention to God coming down, the divinity part of things. When our Lord took on flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he took on something that he will never separate himself from. This is something we have to understand. This is what his wounds manifest to us. We are supposed to adore the humanity of Jesus Christ. St. Thomas Aquinas says, in Christ we adore the humanity along with the Godhead, since they are now inseparable. We cannot separate our Lord Jesus Christ's humanity, the reality of his body, separate from his divinity. He is Theanthropos. He's the God-man. No thing like that has ever existed. A God-man. Our Lord became that when he took on flesh. He was eternal God before that, but he became the God-man, Theanthropos, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we adore that because that's what gets us into heaven, his passion, the wounds that he endured for us. This humanity of the historical Jesus of Nazareth, the same itinerant rabbi who walked around and taught people, who walked on water, who cured people, the same itinerant rabbi who was nailed to a cross after his passion and rose again from the dead, there can be no question, because he bears the wounds, that it is the same exact itinerant rabbi. It is the same exact Jesus of Nazareth. Not a glorified Jesus. You know, he who has died and crucified, he was risen again, and he can walk through doors and all these other things. No, I'm going to continue to let you know that I am the same one who hung on the cross by bearing the wounds that I had. He's never going to stop bearing the wounds, ever. He takes pride in them. His wounds, when we talk about the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ, you got a lot again in the fanciful pictures of the day. How many pictures do you see with our Lord, or the resurrected Lord, he walks, and there's like light rays coming out of his hands and out of his feet and out of his side? Yeah, I get the gist, and I appreciate the gist, really. Those aren't our Lord's wounds. He didn't rise up, behold the wounds of my head. Oh, those are bright, Lord. No. What did he show them? He showed them holes in his hand. He didn't show them scars. He didn't show them residual marks. I think the best dramatic rendition that I've ever seen of this is the Passion of the Christ. The vast majority of us have seen the Passion of the Christ. The end part, the very end, when he resurrects, and he stands there, and he stands up, and you see his hand, and you look through his hand. Those are the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, even in our day, even our world, we think sort of the wounds of Christ, we think of the stigmatists throughout history. St. Francis, St. Bonaventure, name your stigmatist. St. Padre Pio. They all had things that were in the position of our Lord. They had the same pains as the wounds of our Lord. The wounds that our Lord shows are for him and him alone. St. Francis, the description of his stigmata are wounds, and there were like nail heads coming out of them. Not the wounds of our Lord. Our Lord walks around with holes in his hand, because that's what trauma does to you. Our Lord endured hours of having spikes run through his wrists and his feet while he moved around. That's what trauma does to you. You don't endure that and then just have like a nifty little scar that people talk about that you can brag about. You got a hole. This is what our Lord showed off to the apostles. Holes in his hands, holes in his side. He displayed them to dispel any notion that his resurrection was just a hyper-spiritual thing. No, this is a reality. I and the body that hung on the cross have overcome death. They are a sign and a trophy for him of his victory over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's proof. Proof positive. He took them into heaven with him. He ascended into heaven with those wounds. Okay, now that you've seen them, I'm going to heal these in my glorified body because, I don't want to have my glorified body marred by anything. No, he takes them into heaven. He takes them into heaven. Why? To present them to the Father. It's not like the Father needs a reminder of what his Son endured, but it's ever present in heaven. And our Lord's body that's in heaven. It's what the ascension's all about. A little commercial for some days from now. Okay, the ascension is about heaven being opened to physicality. Again, our Lord, he takes his wounds into heaven, and when we come to Mass and we represent the sacrifice of Calvary, where our Lord got those wounds, and we speak of his resurrection, when we look at those wounds, we have to understand that when he makes intercession for us at every Mass that we attend, this is why the Mass is the pinnacle, the first and foremost, by far to infinity, where we should offer up our prayers and petitions for the Lord. Because when we're at our bedside and everything, he hears us because, yes, we're his children and all that. when we're in Mass and we offer petitions to him, our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary stands before him with the wounds that he brought into heaven. And the Father answers because of that, not because of anything innately within us or because of our position by adoption before him, but because of his Son, who is the Son by nature and what he did for us. He uses them as intercessory tools for us. He's going to use them at the judgment. At the final judgment, he's going to use his wounds, because he's not going to have to say a word to the reprobate that is going to spend eternity separated from him in hell. He's not going to have to give him any verbal excuse as to why he's got to go to hell. And the person's not going to say a word about it. They're not going to try to defend themselves. Why? Because he's just going to stand there like this. And they're going to look at the holes in his hands and in his feet and his side and think about all the times they spit on those wounds or just absolutely ignored them in this world or denied them in this world, whether explicitly or tacitly by the way they live their life. He's going to use them for judgment. He's not going to have to say a word. There is going to be no argument. You endure that for me, and I spit in your face. They're going to be used for judgment. This is a reality of his wounds. Given these considerations of the way our Lord approaches and honors his own wounds, our adoration for our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, but we also have to recognize that they place a burden on us. Those wounds are an example to us. St. Augustine says, the nails had fastened his hands to the cross, the spear had opened his side, and the marks of the wounds were left to heal the hearts of the doubtful. Our Lord Jesus Christ continues and will, to the end of time, exhibiting open wounds that are not healed because he wants to heal faithless souls in this world. The gospel today? What did Thomas say? Thomas, prophesying, he didn't even know he was. Unless I see the wounds, his hands, and in his side, I will not believe. Good. Here you go. Which also makes my point about there are holes in his hands and just not fanciful little, you know, remembrance marks. What does our Lord say to Thomas? Put your fingers through my... You can't put your fingers in a scar. You don't put your fingers in a ray of light that's beaming from your hands. Put your hand in my side. Never lose sight of the ghastly nature of this whole thing and the wounds that our Lord bears. A lot of people, the spirit aside, they don't really kind of consider, I'm a military history buff and everything. A battle spear, it's got a head on it like that long and about that wide and about that thick. Okay? And it was run all the way up to the it pierced our Lord's heart. That's big. Our Lord looks at Thomas and says, put your hand out and place it. The wound is big enough to fit your hand in there. That's what we're talking about here. This is reality of God's mercy. This is why we should take his mercy so serious, because it came at such a price. St. Bernard talks about the wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Bernard of Clairvaux says that the wounds are the writ of our redemption. We hear that word writ, like holy writ. Oh, it's just something that's written. There's a legal connotation to the word writ. It just doesn't mean something written. It means something that has legal force. If you own property, for instance, there's an argument. Somebody gives you something and they want it back and you go, no, you gave it to me. There's an argument back and forth between you two. The courts will issue what is called a writ of replevin. That means it doesn't matter if you think it's yours or not. The court says that it's theirs and you need to give it up. Writ means that someone has power to enforce compliance. They have power to enforce submission to their authority, no matter what you may think about it. Our Lord's wounds are the writ of our redemption. They demand our submission to him as King and King and Lord of Lords. They demand our compliance to his commandments and his precepts. They place a demand on us. Not only a demand of, okay, I got to do what he said, but a demand of, hey, no matter what I may ask of you, no matter how painful it may physically, emotionally, whatever, if I, in my will, demand something of you, you should be willing to endure. Why, Lord? The answer to that question for us ought to not be trying to cogitate on why he may do it. The answer should be so simple. Why, Lord? Look at a crucifix. Why should I have to endure that? Enough said. I did this for you. I'm asking you to do a lot less for me. Yeah, it might be painful, but this is the demand that the wounds place on us. It is for us. The second read today from 1 Peter started in verse 3. Okay, let's leave out verses 1 and 2 because it's just Peter introducing himself. The way Peter introduces himself kind of makes some of my points. The introduction is, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood. That's part of our life of faith. We learn that from the Holy Spirit through St. Peter. We are prepared for the sprinkling of his blood. It cost him. It's going to cost us. It may be. It will be painful eventually down the line. We got to be happy about that. Again, because that's what gets us into heaven. We want all the good parts of heaven. Look at a crucifix. That's what it cost. It's like when people say that, you know, I'll be discussing with them about sin and all that. It can't be just that easy to get into heaven by appealing to Christ's mercy. It can't be that easy. I said, well, you're correct. It wasn't for him. He made it easy for us. All we got to do is embrace in faith and obedience the five wounds, because we are made for the sprinkling of his blood. We're supposed to share that with others. Today, Divine Mercy Sunday, Sister Faustina, St. Faustina in the Divine Mercy, in the praises for the Divine Mercy, one of the praises of the Divine Mercy which flowed from the open wound of the heart of Jesus, I trust in you. Okay, it's just not a matter of looking at the image of the Divine Mercy and the pretty rays that come out, which I'm not trying to underscore that by any stretch of the imagination, undercut what that's all about. But those rays of mercy that come out of him because they pour out of the wound in his heart that was made by that Roman spear that left us a hole the size that you put your hand in. This is the reality of our faith. This is the reality of divine mercy. And when we understand that reality, the petition in the Anima Christi, in thy wounds hide me. And you hear that and it's, oh, that sounds kind of repugnant and gross. Well, it might be, but that's the only place where you're going to find mercy. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.